morning, everyone. Everyone receives calls throughout their lifetimes, guiding words from God. This passage from the prophecies of Jeremiah contains his call. The reading from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 19 begins. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a boy,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Now I've put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. And I, for my part, have made you today a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its princes, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you." The second reading is one that many have heard at a wedding ceremony, yet they are not words originally intended for a couple. They are Paul's words for how a community might thrive and grow. Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. "If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
O Holy One, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever and always acceptable unto you. For you are our rock and our Redeemer, our Alpha and our Omega, our beginning and our end, the source of our love and a wellspring of our joys. Amen. Here we are at the very beginning of World Interfaith Harmony Week. And we know that this is a very new initiative of the United Nations, only going back to 2010. It was an initiative first thought about by King Abdullah II of Jordan. He proposed it in 2010 to the United Nations, and a month later, they adopted this brilliant idea. And for the past 8 years, the first week of February has been assigned by the United Nations to be an initiative focused around interfaith harmony understanding, World Interfaith Harmony Week. And if you were to have a quick search on the internet and maybe even look at the poster out there in the lobby or on our website, you see all of the various events happening in our city of Surrey and throughout the globe, designed to encourage interfaith understanding, interfaith harmony, respect, and growth. And right now, as the snow is flying, these poor walkers, as the snow is flying, our walkers, our interfaith pilgrimage is making their way down all the way here to Northwood. We expect them to be here about 11:30 this morning. An opportunity for us to greet them and welcome them, an opportunity for us to offer them a blessing as they carry on to their next stop, stopping at various places of faith throughout the day for blessings, for meals, and along the journey, and along the journey to share stories of their faith, of their journey, of their lives. So think about these pilgrims, these walkers. I'm thinking about another story of walkers. This is a story about three walkers, three hikers that are having a long, long day in their hike. And at the end of the day, they're growing a little bit concerned. Concerned that they will not arrive at camp before nightfall. And what makes matters even worse for these three hikers is that they have hit a roadblock. A roadblock that is stopping in their way. The roadblock that they've arrived at is a raging river. The raging river is there in front of them, and they're wondering how they ever will cross, how they will ever get across this river in order to make camp. Well, the hikers are people of faith, so the hikers turn to God in prayer. First hiker prays and says, "Lord, grant me strength that I might get across this river to the other side." And he receives strength, these large, strong muscles, and he swims across in just under an hour. Second hiker also prays, "Lord, give me strength and give me tools that I might get across to the other side as well." Second hiker is given strength and also sees that there is a canoe right there at the river's edge, and paddles across in just under half an hour. Third hiker, it's a woman. She pulls out a map. And she realizes that there's a bridge just beyond the bend. She walks up a little bit and carefully walks across. Sorry, guys. In the Hebrew text that Gwen just read for us, Jeremiah, the young boy that will soon be the prophet Jeremiah, is about to hit a roadblock. Jeremiah is hitting a roadblock, and he's hitting a place of spiritual discernment. How will he get across? How will we continue? How will he carry on with his life's destiny? Now, this is for a little later in our conversation, but I believe that each and every one of us receive a call, receive calls throughout the course of our life, just like Jeremiah is before us. And if you think about it, every major figure in Scripture, every one of them receives a call in their life. Jesus, Isaiah, Paul, John, think about each and every one of them. They all receive calls, and we read about these stories. It's quite amazing to hear. And a call is something that occurs for us in our life when we receive our life's purpose. A call is something when we receive our sense of our life's meaning, when we receive kind of the blueprint of our life and how that journey will continue. I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but in this topic, I find tremendous comfort reading this story of Jeremiah's call and reading that he was afraid. Reading this story when Jeremiah receives his call from God and reading that the first action that he has is fear. I wonder about you. Do you fear your ability? Do you fear your ability when God calls you? Do you fear that sense of calling and how you'll fulfill it? Do you fear that sense of destiny and how you will fulfill the destiny that God has laid out for you? Do you ever worry that what you have is enough? We all know the excuses, and I think when I hear them, at least in my own life and some others that have shared them with me, I think when we boil them down, they're all some derivation of not being enough. Not enough experience, not enough talents, not being the right person, enough, enough, enough. We all are so good at these excuses. I know I am. But Jeremiah, he is using a really good one we may have used before. Lack of experience. God, I'm just a boy. I'm just a child. How could you possibly call me to be a prophet to the nations? God, you've made a mistake. No offense. Well, we know that God doesn't make mistakes. We know that God did not make a mistake in shaping you. God did not make a mistake in creating you. God did not make a mistake in calling you. God did not make a mistake with Jeremiah. And to Jeremiah's reservations, God offers 4 points of reassurance. God says to Jeremiah, before you were even born, before you were shaped in the womb, I knew you. And then he says, Jeremiah, you're not going to function alone. You're not going to go about this alone. You won't be a lone wolf. You indeed will be filled with my spirit. You'll be anointed by God, and you will go out into the world as my prophet. The third one is he talks about how God will place God's words inside Jeremiah's mouth. Jeremiah becomes almost like a vessel through whom God's words flow through. When people hear Jeremiah's voice, they will hear God's words of love, of authority, of care, of grace. Finally, God says for Jeremiah, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid for this awesome task, for I will be with you. I'll be with you the same way that I've been with your people in times of slavery. I'll be with you the same way I've been with your people in times of suffering. I'll be with you always, Jeremiah. This conversation is, of course, a deeply personal conversation. It's a personal conversation between you and between God, and it's one that we are really blessed to hear the insights between someone like Jeremiah and God, for us to hear that conversation going on and for it to help us. And in some ways, it's a continuation of what we began last week, our conversation about stewardship. We talked about how we really share, how we're called to share our time and our talents and our treasure. And in many ways, this is a real focus on that sense of call, that sense of call to each and every one of us. And we know that this is not a one-time conversation that occurs once in one's life. This is an ongoing conversation, an evolving conversation, a conversation, a call that continues throughout one's life's journey. Because we continue to grow in years, in skill and ability, we continue to change. Jeremiah, he hears his call as a young man, a young boy who eventually will become the great prophet Jeremiah that is remembered centuries and millennia later. This morning we know that God is still calling. God is calling to Jeremiah in that story, and God is calling through this story to you and to I. I don't know about you, but when I hear that story and I hear some of Jeremiah's reservations, do they resonate with you as well? Too busy, too old, I'm too inexperienced, I'm too young, I'm too something, I'm not enough. We all have our fears and our doubts. And when we think about those fears and our doubts, those ones are the roadblocks that we hit in life, aren't they? They're the roadblocks that are set in front of us that we need to navigate and continue through. Thinking back to that humorous story about the three hikers, the roadblock they hit was the river. It was the river in front of them, and they needed to find a way to navigate through it. I wonder what roadblock is in front of you today. What is the roadblock that you're hitting as you continue to think about fulfilling your destiny, living out your call as God's child? Now, for the three hikers, there were 2 different approaches. One was to kind of go on their own, use their own strength, or use the canoe, kind of power through that raging river. And the other hiker used a map. I believe that people of faith have a map as well. Many maps that guide us. One such map is the second reading that Gwen offered us. Those are beautiful words from Paul. That's one of those maps that we are given, those timeless maps that might guide our decisions, guide our struggles, guide our journey. It's interesting to really entertain that piece of scripture, other than in a wedding ceremony, as beautiful as it is to celebrate a couple's wedding and to lift those words of love up. Those words were really intended for how we might unite as community, how we might come together as God's people. And Paul says the way we come together as God's people with a foundation of love. Easier said than done, right? We might come together as a foundation of love, and that would be the answer. That we would be beacons of love. That we would use our time, our talents, and treasure all for the purposes of love. I wonder what it might look like for a spiritual practice for us. If we were to start our day in prayer, a brief prayer asking God to guide us in being love today. What might it look like for us to consider how we might be love today? How we might live love today? How we might shine love in our day, in our little corner of the world? I wonder further what might happen if we were to come to the end of our day and have a brief spiritual practice before we put our head on the pillow and ask God, how was I loved today? How was I loved today? And to go through that routine of morning and night through our journey. Think what might happen. These roadblocks all of a sudden would start to lift. All of a sudden, we'd start to see the right path. All of a sudden, we'd be able to pull out the map and we'd know the right journey. We can't do everything. We can do the things that God has shaped and formed us to do. See, some of our pilgrims are arriving right now. It's so wonderful to have them here. I'm thinking about World Interfaith Harmony Week, and one of the things that is so beautiful with all of our world religions is that in many different ways, we all have versions of the golden rule, don't we? We know, and during the music for reflection time that Gina is going to play after my reflection, I'm going to have a projection on the screen that shows all the different facets of religions and ways they have named us to called to be living examples of love, how we are called to live love, the way Jesus taught it, the ways all of the other religions taught it in their words. So as we consider our calls that we experienced, let us be reminded that God has never made any junk. God does not make mistakes. God has created you and shaped you to be presence of love. So let us follow God's call, God's call to allow love to unfold in you and me and allow God's kingdom of peace to continue to form and shape in this world. Amen.